Hello and welcome to the Euractiv Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Natasha Foote.
And I'm Magdalena Pistorius.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food News team. So as you've heard this week, my right-hand man, Gerardo, is not able to join us as he's feeling under the weather. And it really does feel like I'm missing my right arm or something. It's horrible. It's very weird to be podcasting without him. So get well soon, Gerardo. But as you heard from the intro, the lovely Magdalena from Euractiv France has kindly agreed to step in at the very last minute to fill his shoes. So welcome, Magdalena, and thank you for joining us this week.
Of course, pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you as well. So yeah, just like the Monkees song, it's me and Magdalena this week. I probably shouldn't have sung, but I don't know. How many people have sung this song to in your life? I mean,
nobody. You're the first, I think.
No, I'm the first. How's it possible?
I don't know.
Wow, people are really missing a trick. My goodness, it's an excellent song. Wow, it was worth singing on the podcast for that.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I have to say, even though I am, of course, really sad that Gerardo couldn't join us this week, there is something nice about a girl power episode. No?
Definitely, yeah. We should do that more often.
Sorry, Gerardo. I'm sorry. It's girl power this week. But there's not nearly enough female agri journalists. So having the two of us here, that's quite nice. Makes quite a nice change.
I agree.
There you go. And also the two of us talking about such a big week. It's been a pretty big week in the agriculture world. What's been going on, Magdalena? What's happened this week? Anything?
No, nothing.
Nothing at all.
No, well, the cap happened. We were actually both in Strasbourg this week. Mm-hmm. Well, we also met for the first time in person.
We did. It's been huge.
Yes, and actually assisted the final cap vote.
Big, after so long covering and following this long, long road to the cap reform. Yeah, as Magdalena said, it's been officially signed and sealed this week because lawmakers in the plenary gave their green light to the reform of the Common Agricultural Policy. And yeah, also our first ever time in Strasbourg. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. No, it's actually quite amazing.
I think it was really special to be there covering it in person. No, I added extra layer of excitement to be there.
Definitely, it's much better than just watching people talk on the internet.
Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, it's very weird being in the corridor and seeing everyone just walking past. You saw the commissioner, no? You saw,
exactly.
Yeah, just wandering past Commissioner Wojciechowski. Oh, hey. So that was fun. And MEPs also had a lot of fun this week, I'm sure, with the vote and with dealing with everything. Not everyone was as happy with the outcome as others, but we'll hear more about that later on. So this reform passed with a wide majority, despite all the calls that was going on from campaigners to scrap the cap. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, let me just have a quick refresher. So this cap reform was proposed by the European Commission back in 2018. It was informally wrapped up in June, adopted by the Council of EU Agri-Food Ministers a couple of days later, and provisionally approved by the Parliament's Agri Committee in September. And it has now been signed and sealed. Done deal.
Finally.
It feels so long. So this cap aims to have a more kind of flexible performance and results-based approach, taking into account local conditions and needs while increasing the level of EU ambitions in terms of sustainability. And I mean, well, it's signed and sealed. There's still a number of things to sort out, as we'll get to in later on. But basically, it's on track to enter into force now on the 1st of January 2023 and will run until 2027. But this has been a contentious gap reform, I think it's safe to say. There was a lot of call, there were a lot of debate over this cap reform, and has been for a long time. There still was, even in the Parliament this week, in the plenary session. So we heard many different points of view from different MEPs. We listened to the whole session. I mean, was anyone a standout for you in that session? There were some interesting points put across, no?
Definitely, yeah. Well, I mean, I personally paid a lot of attention to the French MEPs, of course.
Of course.
And so the ones who stood out from my point of view were, of course, well, the Greens, who were definitely against this cap and called until the last minute on their colleagues to vote this cap down. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had more tempered views, like the ones of Jérémy Desserles, who is the French Renew MEP, part of mm-hmm. the Agri Commission too, and who called his colleagues to do exactly the same, like adopt the cap.
And yeah, we definitely, there was a range of views in the plenary session. Someone who had a very favourable view towards this cap reform was Irish MEP Chris McManus, and this is what he had to say during the debate ahead of the vote.
When summing up this new cap reform, the phrase "Don't let perfect be the enemy of good" comes to mind. Yes, there are issues, but supporting this cap locks in hard-won progress. Without doubt, this will be a fairer cap than the last, and again, it can be improved at national level.
Then some people took a bit more of a balanced view, actually, such as leftist Luke Flanagan.
Sadly, whether you're in the Commission or whether you're a member of this Parliament, or if you're a member of the council, we've let everyone down, sadly. And we have let people down because we could have done so, so much better. Will I vote against this cap? No, I won't, because I think I'd be letting people down again if I did that, because reverting to the status quo would be even worse, and an awful lot worse. I don't like it. It's far from perfect, but the alternative is worse. Thank you.
But of course, as we've already mentioned, this cap reform faced staunch opposition from the Greens, who were really unhappy with the whole deal, with the whole compromise agreement. I think Green MEP Tilly Met summed it up quite well in her intervention in the debate, and this is what she had to say.
For 3 years, we have been saying that the proposal for the next cap is fundamentally flawed, that it is inadequate to fight climate and biodiversity crisis and the loss of small farmers all over Europe. So the text on the table today is still flawed. The Commission, the Council and the negotiators from this House have failed to fix it. This is not a reform or even a stepping stone for reform. It's indeed a mess.
But of course, despite, you know, many people's complaints and displeasure at the cap vote, as we all know, it was voted through, as we said, by a large majority. And, you know, there was a real range of emotions about this. The verdict's kind of out, I think, for the moment, whether we think, you know, it's onwards for this cap reform, but is it upwards? And I think there's a lot of different viewpoints about that, basically. So let's look at maybe the farmers' reaction. So EU Farmers Association Copacabana welcomed the news of the cap reform, you know, saying that it brings some much needed clarity and certainty to the farmers, and we can start moving on to the next steps of the cap reform. But they did highlight that the next steps, there are a lot of uncertainties that remain, including on the calendar and the implementation both at the EU level and the national level. Likewise, Young Farmers Association Seja said, you know, they called this vote a significant milestone that allows young farmers to look more confidently to the future, bringing the farming community some much needed certainty. But it wasn't a homogenous kind of welcoming from the farming community, because Small Farmers Association, the European coordination Via Campesina, said that this reform had once again failed small farmers and the environment, and they called it a missed opportunity for small and medium scale producers. So this is, I mean, I think we all know that the commissioner has quite a soft spot for small producers. He actually also mentioned them in his reaction to the cap vote. So let's hear from EU Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski for his reaction to the outcome of the vote.
I welcome today's vote by the European Parliament on the Common Agricultural Policy Reform. It brings us one step closer to a fair common agricultural policy for European farmers. It is clear that the new common agricultural policy has to be fairer. This means not leaving anyone behind. Today, the European Parliament voted for a fairer policy, not only for small and medium-sized family farmers, but also for young farmers and farm workers. I will personally ensure that small and medium-sized family farms are not excluded from any intervention or assistance.
And what about French farmers? How did they take the outcome of the vote? Were they happy? Tell me everything, Magdalena.
I'll tell you everything. Actually, quite similarly to the European picture. So we have the main French farmer syndicate, the FNSEA, who mm-hmm. also welcomed the deal and said that it was finally going to give some much needed stability, clarity and serenity to French and European farmers. And also insisting that the eco schemes, for example, so the greening of the new CAP was already very sufficient to push farmers on the agroecological transition, and that there was not more pressure needed to push farmers even farther. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we have another syndicate, the Coordination Rurale, which said that actually this CAP totally failed to address social justice, greening, etc., for farmers and consumers, and was pretty deceived with the outcome of the vote.
So quite a mixed bag of reactions as well from French farmers.
Absolutely,
there.
Yeah.
I like what you said about bringing serenity. I enjoy that kind of idea of bringing serenity. There's not been much serenity in the CAP reform debate until now. Definitely a mixed bag. And also, there was predictably quite an outcry from civil society, who have been campaigning a lot to scrap this CAP. We heard there's the movement Withdraw the CAP. They spoke to me, and they were saying, you know, basically this battle may be lost, but the war's far from over. So they're saying that they're promising to kind of continue campaigning and up their efforts, and actually the group is actually currently in the process of preparing legal action on the reform.
Oh, wow.
which I'm not, to be honest with you, don't have the details, not entirely sure what that entails, but could be interesting. So there's definitely some fighting talk there from the Withdraw the CAP movement. And from the NGO side, you know, the CAP reform deal was heavily criticized, but they also, you know, looking forward to the future now. So we're just, as a quick refresher, you know, the next step of the CAP reform is looking at these national strategic plans. Magdalena, maybe you can give a little, what are these plans I'm talking about? Give a little summary.
So yes, the national strategic plans basically means the way in which the 27 EU member states are each individually going to apply the new CAP. They have until the 31st of December of this year to submit their national strategic plans to the European Commission, and in these plans and documents lay out how they intend to attain the 9 objectives set out in the new CAP scheme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's still so many question marks about these national plans, because, as I mentioned, you know, this CAP reform is basically trying to shift a lot of responsibility and control from the EU to member states. But, you know, it's at the moment, you know, it's really unclear what's going to be in these plans. They're supposed to be the main vehicle for the EU's Green Deal. There's a lot of uncertainty about to what extent they will align with the Green Deal, to what extent the Commission will accept a plan that's maybe not fully aligned with the sustainability goals outlined in the EU's Green Deal, part of which is the EU's flagship food and farming policy, the Farm to Fork strategy. So stakeholders, you know, looking to the future, stakeholders basically are saying now, kind of there's a begrudging acceptance, right? This CAP reform's done. I think we all knew it was coming, maybe at this plenary session. It was very likely it was going to pass. But everyone's saying that basically now all that's left to do, I mean, people are going to be watching very, very closely and how member states develop these plans, and NGOs are promising to do everything they can basically to hold member states accountable in the process of drafting these plans to make sure that they are aligned with sustainability goals. And actually the Parliament said the same thing. So in the press conference following the cap reform vote, I think it was Peter Yar, which was one of the rapporteurs of the cap reform, who was responsible for the national strategic plans. He was saying that, you know, that basically the rapporteurs, maybe their job here is done for the moment, but they're not going to be taking a back seat anytime soon. They want to be involved in the discussion. They want to be involved in understanding how these plans are going to develop and what it means for the future of the sector. So all eyes on the future to see what this holds now. And obviously keep following your active, and we'll be bringing you the news from the member states. You're at Magdalena, you'll be bringing all the news from France. We'll have everyone else bringing the news from elsewhere. We actually have our, it's just a little plug here in case anyone's interested, we have a tracker on the national strategic plans that's detailing kind of all the movements of each member state and where they're at with the plans. So be sure to check that out if you're interested in more. So that's all from us this week. And this week, the Euractiv AgriFood podcast was produced by Natasha Foote and Magdalena Pistorius with the help of Mirko Paradiso. You can also check out this podcast on all major streaming platforms. So that's Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher.
So I'm Magdalena Pistorius. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next week.